from America. I think America is giving economic aid to, I believe, over 60 nations or more of the world. Well, dear people, among these nations that believe, that have tried to practice the principle of socialism, trying to advance their social programs, we have a alarming number who beat to the social programs. They beat the drum to the demand for social aid. Social aid. But they don't keep step with the demand for social reform. We find that they ignore the moral accompaniment. They ignore the moral accompaniment to social progress. Their leader is not held morally responsible. So he gets the aid into his hands and abuses it. Just like these welfare stations and these other programs in our cities get the aid and abuses it. Now, if we don't take the responsibility into our hands for the moral conduct of our social program, we will always be at the mercy of carpetbagger politicians who are only here temporarily. Their investment is short-term. They carry a carpet bag, and everything that they have is in that carpet bag. They don't plan on sitting up home for now and tomorrow. They don't plan on building up a house for themselves and their children to come. They're only looking for a fat check until they die as a fat pig. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, until we face these problems and deal with these problems intelligently and bring down leadership to our level. Don't you know leadership is not supposed to look from us, but look to us from above? Leadership is supposed to look up to us. Yes. Because leadership has to respect the will in the people that it's supposed to represent. And if I'm a leader that looks down to you, I don't have any respect for myself, and I don't know my place in your society. They're trying to tell us to live in houses with no life. Live in houses with no sense of the blueprint of that house. We can't live like that. Why, houses have kitchens because people have to eat. But houses also have toilets and baths because people have to let out that there's too much in them. And that's not good for them. And people have to clean up after they become dirty. And houses also have recreational rooms. People have to have a break from the drudgery. Dear beloved people, this society does not give us a break unless it's an orgy in self-destruction. And it doesn't give us a bath unless it's with the pigs in the pig pen. And when they cook our food, they cook it with the toilet utensils. They bring the toilet utensils in the kitchen. They bring the toilet facilities into the kitchen. And we don't know whether we're eating out of the cooking pot or out of the spit tube. This is the problem. We have to establish them all. And we have to understand that the passions of man climb morally. The passions of man is an uphill climb along a moral highway. And if we don't travel upward up a moral highway with our passions, we will never be anything but weaklings at the feet of power. Dear beloved people, these are the facts of our situation. Again, let us look at the character of our popular leadership. When election time draws near, most of them begin to skate and shuffle around, ripping and running and speaking on the issues that they have neglected for a whole year. They come out with face-saving, hypocritical support, for issues that they should have been treating for the whole year. And their purpose is just to operate as an endorsement broker who will be paid for getting endorsements. They bargain with the candidate to see how much is going to come into their cooking pot. And the candidate that offers promises the most to their particular cooking pot, they will endorse him. When they have decided, then they come out and tell us, vote for Reagan. Vote for Reagan. Well, be true with you, I don't even want to tell you my choice. Because I fear that you may run with the fuel of the nose. I hope that in listening to me over the years, you can make the same choice that I'm going to make. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, when hard pressed to preserve the progressive character of ghetto morality from ego-related situation changes, little help comes down from popular leadership. Recent developments are encouraging, however. Recently, I've seen the Black Caucus members taking a greater role of responsibility, accepting into their view of factors in the situation, Africa, Nigeria, and the countries that now need our awareness. The president of Nigeria spoke to us and appealed to us to show at least as much interest in a growing economy of Nigeria as the Caucasians are showing. That was a criticism that came from a man who was acting like a papa to us. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, in concluding this hour of this address, I ask you to follow the voice of your own conscience, the voice of your own heart that calls you to truth and excellence. If that voice is the voice you hear from this speaker, from this imam, this leader of Al-Islam, imam simply means leader in religion, then follow it and embrace it and let us hold hands together and walk together. Let us live and struggle together. Let us survive together. Let us recognize that the survival instinct must move up a moral climb. A moral climb. The survival instinct will destroy us if it doesn't take the path of moral excellence. And we will be successful. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, we are grateful to Allah for the new exposure that we have by way of WJCC radio. We should seek more of this exposure. It's a shame on the international Muslim world that there are international Jewish programs, international church programs, but no international Muslim program on television. I don't say it's a shame on us because we represent the underprivileged, disadvantaged poor of America. I'm no rich man. I live on a poor level. My home is that of a poor man. My wardrobe is that of a poor man. My daily diet is that of a poor man. The only thing that gives me an image of middle class is your contributions that pay for my traveling, that pay for me to be free to function properly as your leader. But except for that, my living is that of a poor man. And even when I'm traveling, I don't take advantage of your nose. I don't go to California or somewhere and eat high on the cow. Or high on the lamb. Normally I order chicken or fish. Chicken or fish. Maybe a beef burger occasionally. Hardly ever a steak. Hardly ever a steak. And dear beloved people, I don't buy Stacy Adams shoes. If you've ever seen me with one, it was given to me by a hustler. And I got them as a gift or a great discount. In fact, I have a pair of Stacy Adams that was given to me by a hustler who told me, say, well, they're not bad. Say, these shoes are good. There's something irregular about them, but you can't find it by looking at them. I say, well, if I can't see it and it doesn't hurt my feet, give me the shoes, man. Now, if I ever learn that he's a thief, I'm going to take those shoes and beat his damn brains out. He told me he buys them from a wholesale distributor who distributes irregular shoes. That doesn't mean that you can't belong to this community if you live differently. If you got plenty of money, that's your money. My money that I make is not my money. A leader's money is his people's money. But if you're not the leader and you are making money, that's different. You're free to do with your money as you will. And the moral code of the Quran should help you decide or should decide how you should handle your money. You are not to spend so much of it that you put yourself at the mercy of other people to pull you out of debt or to take care of you until you can get on your feet again. And you shouldn't hoard it or hold it so tight in your fist that you ignore the charity obligation on you as a human being and as a Muslim. So there's a brother named Jabir Muhammad. He used to be called Herbert Muhammad. He's son of the late leader Elijah Muhammad, and he's brother to a man called Wahiduddin Muhammad. Now that man, he makes his own money. And he's not an imam. He doesn't claim to be the leader over a community. He makes his own money. It doesn't come from contributions to him. He makes his own money. And he rides around in cars that looked like something I saw about 10 years ago in Buck Rogers' cartoon. He has spaceship limousines. But that's his business. That's his money. Now, I don't see in him any real problem, such as greed, because I notice he doesn't wear any flashy jewelry. I notice he doesn't wear expensive clothes. But he likes those Buck Rogers cars. And I understand he sleeps on raised cushions and eats high on the cow. And he is one of our best members in this community. So don't think you have to look like a foot soldier to stay in our company. If you have justifications to look like the aristocrat, welcome, brother aristocrat, welcome. But don't forget the moral obligation in Al-Islam on your purse string. Amen and hallelujah. Brother Jabir Muhammad doesn't forget that obligation. Why, he's almost constantly coming up to us, inquiring about our difficulties. And if he senses that there is a real crisis developing in this community, he always go down in his pocket and come up with a healthy contribution. And even when we are not faced with any real serious crisis, because after all, his purse ain't big enough to pull this whole community up out of this crisis. But even when we're not faced with any real serious pressing demands here locally, he comes and makes a substantial contribution. Just a few weeks ago, less than 2 weeks ago, he made a $5,000 contribution to Clara Muhammad School here in Chicago. And I understand that he also made equal to that amount. I'm not sure because I didn't even inquire to show you how much I trust the treasurer. I haven't even asked him the figure for Brother Jabba's gift to the Zatad. But he also made a gift to the Zatad. And I'm sure it was $5,000 above. That also was a recent contribution. You might say, what is that? What is $5,000 contribution for the manager of Muhammad Ali, who's fight was $8 million, who fought for $8 million. You don't understand. When the Internal Revenue got through with that $8 million, when his bill that he created since he's been out of the ring comes and take a bite on that $8 million. When all of those people in his entourage and all of his non-profit-making capital assets take a bite into that $8 million. And when legal liens, etc., take a bite, alimony, etc., take a bite into that $8 million. You may think twice about suffering as he suffered with home for that purse. And when Jabber got his percentage, which has been greatly reduced, I understand, by a new contract, when he got his percentage, it wasn't what you think it was. And out of what he got, he has made these contributions to us. Don't you know there are only a few people who live on the middle class and upper middle class level in our community that gives any charity to us at all? Most of them don't give anything to us at all. For education, for anything. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, let's think about this. We have a brother here in Chicago who I consider not to be upper middle class, but he is a man who doesn't have to come to us for charity. He's not begging anybody for anything, all right? He's a worker. He works hard. He has a business. He works hard. This brother also contributes to us. And I would say his image, his significance as a donor here, his importance as a donor here is equal to Brother Jabber. Why? Because Brother Jabber has much more to work with than that brother. But we can't ask of any man who is working for his bread, whether he's got a comfortable living or not, we can't ask him to give us as though we have first rights to his purse. That's wrong. He has first rights to his purse. Charity obligation is first on the person, then on his immediate dependents, and then it branches off to others who are not in his family. Is that right? Or to those who are not immediately dependent on him. So don't say he's rich. Look, he bought his son a car. He didn't buy the master a car. If he does that, great. But if he doesn't do it, you shouldn't have that attitude. Dear beloved people, Brother Jabber. You say, oh, he's campaigning for Brother Jabber. No, I'm campaigning to get other people who are jabbers to come up and do what Brother Jabber is doing. Brother Jabber told us last week. He said, if you all need a car limousine for the community, let me know. We don't have the right to demand him to do that. No, but he's doing it of his own accord. He did it of his own free will because he wants to see this community with prestige. He don't want me to look bad when people come here, dignitaries come here, who ride around with chauffeurs and big limousines, and I have to send my Ford out there to pick them up. I agree with his logic. I agree with his logic. I know this is national hookup time, and that's what we are, on all national hookup, and you'll be hooked up pretty soon, I hope. Have patience. Look, dear brothers and sisters, our guests also have a right on us. If I receive guests, I can't impose my standards upon my guests. I have to tell my guests my standards and hope that the guests will tolerate my standards while they are my guests. But an intelligent, sophisticated host will try his best to reason with his guest standards. And if his guest comes from a comfortable palace, come from where he doesn't see the coarse, uncouth mannerism of the uncultured people, I shouldn't invite that dignitary into an environment of coarse, uncouth, bad-mannered people. Unless I shake them up before he comes. Yes. Unless I shake them up before he comes and warn them that if they misbehave in his presence, I'm going to beat them up after he leaves. Yes, this is intelligent. intelligence. Devil of people. And I shouldn't invite him to come from his accustomed life of riding around in limousines or in a comfortable, expensive car to ride in mines that may put him in the hospital. Yes! If I bring a dignitary who's used to riding around in these big comfortable cars, and he ride in some of ours with no shocks, and he hit a slight pothole, he will have a back injury, a spinal injury, a neck injury that will cost him a few thousand dollars just to visit me. Look, as we broaden and heighten our associations, we have to step up our community sophistication. So we do need a limousine. We need a limousine. We need a limousine that no dignitary would be ashamed of. And when we go and get people of that kind of mind and that kind of a life, we should pick them up in that limousine. And the chauffeur should give them respect. He should say, yes, sir, no, sir. At your pleasure. What is your pleasure? Let me help you. Let me serve you. He should jump out of the car and open the door for them. Stand there and see that they come out safely and close the door properly. He should go with their bags and get to the hotel door before they get there. He should tell the porter at the door that a special dignitary is coming in. Shape up or ship out. These are courtesies that are due people who are accustomed to those courtesies. You don't have to behave that way with me. I don't want that. But we have to respect the values of our guests. And if a person is in your responsibility, they are your guest and they are your responsibility. And you are not supposed to make them uncomfortable. That's bad guest manner. All right? Now, I am ashamed of some of you, how you behave when great dignitaries come here from Saudi Arabia and other parts of the world. Some of you look at them like you want to spit on them because you envy their station in society. Not because you don't like them for any real reason, justifiable reason. It's because you just envy their station in society. And some of you hate that their presence here is contributing to the better image of this community. Because anytime a dignitary comes here from high standing, he raises the image of this community by his presence here among us. And some of you pretend to be my friends, but you're not my friends because your mannerism shows it when you attest it. So just be aware of that. Be aware of that. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, we have to shape ourselves up for higher things in this world. Higher things in this world doesn't come to an uncivilized people. Higher things come to a civilized people. So shape up. Don't be critical of each other just for the sake of being critical. Don't vent your hatred and your hostilities on each other. Allah will punish you greatly for that. If you're miserable, pray to Allah for relief in your miserable life. Don't vent your hostility, your anger, and your hatred on your relatives, on your wife, on your husband, on your children, on your neighbors, on members of this community, or on your imam. Some of you vent your hostilities on me. You don't throw a tomato in my face because you know I'll knock you out. But you do things to put weight and strain on this community's wheels of program, wheels of progress. You put weight and strain on the community wheels of progress to keep us from progressing. That's how you direct your hostility toward me. Go on, be dead weight, and be dead pretty soon. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, before we have our national hookup, we want to hear from some distinguished guests. And if you think that I have talked to you about the manners, the proper manners of a host,